word again. Someone said I misspelled it when doing the preaching. The word to denote unstable is A-K-A. T-A-S-T-A-T-O-S. Okay? Someone said it was spelled wrong the second time this evening during the morning class. And this is so important. The reason why it's so important, because see, when you go back and look at it, and then it don't match up to what we say. See, it'll use it to cause us to be not have all things in common. So when we go back and look at this stuff, we'll be looking at the same thing here in relationship to understanding what he's talking about there. That we're double-minded, dispusios, and then unstable. It's A-K-A, T-A-S, T-A-T-O-S, unsteady, wavering, in disposition, equal the type of attitude that you have in relationship to understanding the word of God. I appreciate that brothering because, see, we're in this together, amen. We're in this together, amen. We're in a work process together, and we must prove all things and to hold fast to that, which is good. Someone called me the other day, and they're not here. And they wanted me to talk briefly about what does the Bible say about forgiveness. And I got to give it to you because I studied that, okay? And it's not my fault that they're not here. But what scriptures that we deal with in relationship to what the Bible say about forgiveness. But I want to begin in Matthew 5:44. And then we'll go there and we'll look at some scriptures that you may denote these scriptures so we may learn if we're going to be well-pleasing and acceptable to God. Matthew 5:44, to me, one of the most difficult scriptures probably in the New Testament, what Jesus teaches on the Sermon on the Mount in relationship to what our attitude should be for those who misuse us. Our attitude should be for those who hate us, or curse us in relationship to what we supposed to do. Because when you go to Galatians 5, and by verse 17, if you're going to run well, or if you're going to run well and not have the hindrance that allow us not to obey truth, we got to have a loving heart and do know how to forgive. So Jesus teaches a wonderful lesson here, Matthew 5:44. And he says, but I say unto you to love your enemy. Let me back up to verse 43. Either you have heard that have been said that thou should love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy under the law. Verse 44, but Jesus said, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But look at verse 44. He says, but be ye therefore perfect. See, we forgive that we may perfect, that we may grow. Because anytime we hold grudging, or we hold forgiveness, or we hold attitude in our life, see, it calls us, that we talked about this morning, to be unstable and undouble-minded, because it calls us to have an attitude in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. So let's open our Bible, let's go to some scriptures if we may, in relationship to what does the Bible say in relationship to forgiveness. Let's go to Matthew 6:14. Let's continue in the same Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 6, about verse 14, 6:14, he talks about in this prayer, 14, he says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not, now this is the danger of not to forgive. Because if you don't forgive, forgiveness is not going to come to you. You hear what I said? But if you don't forgive, Forgiveness don't come to you. It's not like a choice that we have that you can forgive if you want to. No, it's not a choice. It's a command of God. Because see, verse 15, he said, but if you forgive men, not men, their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you. See, so if we sit here and hold an attitude, a frame of mind, in relationship to violation of the principle of forgiveness, number one, guess what, brother? 1 John 1:9 is not applicable to you. That when we sin, God not going to forgive us. We can't say that we confess our faults. Or we can't say 1 John 1:9 in relationship to understanding how the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The attitude of forgiveness got to begin with us. Why? Because God, Christ, through Christ, he forgives us of our sins. All right, let's go to Mark chapter 3. Let's look at another scripture. I think we just need to be writing these down because, see, these are things that we need to apply to our life if we're going to be what God would want us to be in relationship. Because we all have got angry with people, right? We all have had attitudes. We all have said, you know, I ain't spoke to him in 6 months. I ain't spoke to him in a year. In relationship to that attitude we have, because you may say, what he done to me. So therefore, we would not have that forgiving spirit over here in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14. Now, let's go to Mark 3 and verse number 28, and let's see another side of this thing in relationship to what we need to learn about forgiveness. Mark 3 and verse 28. All right? Here in Mark 3:28, he says, verily I say to you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemy wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But look what he says. Now this is the danger. See, this is the danger. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. When we talk about debate, conflict, variance, that cause self to get in the way. If we shall blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, hath never forgiveness, but it is in danger of eternal damnation. Do you realize what Mark is saying here, Mark 3:28? Do you realize the power of Romans 1:16 of the Word of God? That when God speaks, you don't have no right and I have no right to blaspheme the word? Because when you blaspheme the word, he said there is no forgiveness. Amen. We read in the book of Matthew chapter 6, where we just got the reading, right? We read that the word of God says to forgive all men so that Christ shall forgive us. So we have attitude, amen, because we don't want to forgive. Guess what, brother? That's blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, amen. That is that we have an attitude. I think sometimes we just need to go home and make a list of who we hadn't spoke to, who our enemies are. See, who transgressed us or who we transgressed. And we begin to go back to the Word of God and let the Word of God work. That is to go say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Because anytime you hold someone hostage through not forgiving, that's blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. And you know what, brother? This don't have anything to do with forgiveness, but you know it's a sad connotation for brothering, faithful brothering, to understand the word, to know the word. James 4:17, to him who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, or Hebrews 10:26, to willfully, because of self, because that's all it is, self, get in the way that you want your will done versus God's will when you allow the word of God to be blasphemed because you want what you want done versus what the Holy Spirit is saying. That's a dangerous ground because here Mark says in verse 28, he said, it's no forgiveness. It's no forgiveness for that. See, because if you're a blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, if you're a bad mouth the Holy Spirit, if you do wrong the Holy Spirit, what kind of man that may be in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. Go back to James, what we're talking about. It's amazing how the Bible just fit together, amen? If your mindset is not right, if your thought process is not right, if you think your thinking is not right in relationship to causing you to be unstable. See, calling you to be unstable in relationship. See, to being able to act in faith. See, in relationship to understand the will of God, it may cause you to be blasphemous in relationship to a lack of respect. That's what I call it, a lack of respect for God's word. That literally you will mock it, you will blaspheme it, you will reject it. That's what you're doing. See, he said, brother, there is no forgiveness. There is no forgiveness. And a lot of times we take it light in relationships, how we treat people. See, in relationship to we as Christians and really not understanding what is the will of God. I want to read that one more time because, see, we see it even today here. See, you didn't write the word, I didn't write the word. You didn't make the perfect law of liberty, I didn't make the perfect law of liberty. Amen. I forgot to tell you this morning when we were talking about that, did you not realize that when you think about the 66 books of the Bible, that the whole Bible had been written probably around AD 79. John, if you go back and look at it, was the last of all the 12 apostles, all the 13, to die. The Apostle John. He was the only one that did not die a martyr's death. All the rest of them, beheaded, crucified upside down. We do know John on the Isle of Patmos, Revelation, that he was tarred and feathered to the point that Josephus say that literally people didn't know who he was. But he did die. Oh, man. Natural death. But I'm saying that to say that we look at James 1:25. When you look at the Bible, the 66 books of the Bible, and that for we know in part and prophesied in part, but when that which is perfect and come, that was in part shall be done away with. Probably at the destruction of Jerusalem around 79, somewhere around in there. Give a few years of dates, okay? The whole Bible. I'm talking about inspiration. 2 Timothy 3:16. That's what we're looking at, inspiration. That those who wrote it, apostles, right? Inspiration. Those who wrote the 66 books, the total perfect law of perfection came about around AD 79. Go with me to Colossians right quick. When Paul made this statement in Colossians, see, and I'm going to show you why I'm saying that. When he talked about the gospel had been preached to every creature under the face of the earth, you remember that scripture? Over there in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Where is it? 23, thank you. 23, I got a mark right here. 23. When he talks about if you continue in the faith, you ask in faith. See, if you continue in the faith, ground and settle, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, where I, Paul, am made a minister. See, this all occurred. I'm telling you, bro, you can go back and look at it. It all occurred before. That is that perfect law of liberty. Everything was written. It was written before the falling away of Acts 20 and 29 of Timothy 4 that even came to be. That when Paul said, when I depart, grieve with any and not splatter the flock, speaking perverse doctrines to draw disciples after them, of that adding of that tradition that you talked about in Revelation 22, 18, 19, Deuteronomy 14, Proverbs 36. I'm saying that justification was so important. And that's the key. Because see, we can't be saved. We can't go to heaven if the justification don't match up with the word. Amen.
See, you can do everything else, but offend the law at one point. That is not understand what forgiveness is and still be lost. You understand what I'm saying? So when you look at it, when you look at that, if you get your sheet there and you look at it and you follow that thing all the way until probably when Nero and Jerusalem burned, probably around 79, those dates might not be correct, but it ain't close off, ain't far off. As to when Jerusalem was destroyed, somewhere around there, that's what they say. That we, like you see the Bible today, I'm talking about the Septuagint Greek. That's what the Bible translated in. Septuagint Greek was the language of the common people that was spoke during the life of Jesus' time. That it was written in for the translation, really, in 1611, when some 40 men rewrote the Bible, as we have now the King James Version. But see, that what we're talking about, and I know this, and I'm going to tell you what I'm saying. See, you got to understand all this here to appreciate it. I'm serious. Because if you don't see it, you don't appreciate it. See, that's the reason why you got perversion, additions, tradition, twisting. People don't see the value of the word because they saw the value of the word and what the Holy Spirit did before the foundation of the world that we may have the perfect law of liberty. Brother, it won't be no blasphemous attitude. Amen. Because you're going to take it just the way it is, amen. If you could bring back Paul, Peter, and all the apostles for Christ's sake, you bring back Stephen, and you bring all those people who literally got their heads cut off, crucified upside down. I got some books downstairs called Josephus' Writing, and you read in the book of Revelation, man, literally, they'll throw them in the lion's den. They went let the lions eat for 2 or 3 weeks. And for the cause of Christ. They said, all you have to do is deny Christ. We'll let you go. But Christians died, amen. Ate by lions. I mean, you can go in Rome right today and look at some of those arenas where Christians died. You know, they died for the word. See, look at Revelation, then I'm going to move on. And I'm going to just look at John, for example. Revelation chapter 1. Man, I get excited about that word, amen. It's upset me when we allow people just to misuse and abuse the word, amen. See, that's the reason I don't have no problem when you come up to me and say, Brother Lott, did you mean this here? Did you mean this here? Correct this here? But let me tell you something, man. It don't take but one error. It don't take but one error to give the devil justification to do what he want to do. Amen. That's all the devil want in relationship to understanding. See, in Revelation 1, all right? Verse 9. See, look what the Holy Spirit said. Look what John said. God bless. I, John, who also am your brother, and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was in the island that is called Patmos. Why was he there? You see why he was there? For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. See, he was thrown in jail for the word. And then we got people here in Birmingham, Alabama, just abuse the word, misuse the word, blaspheme against the word. You don't got people left here blaspheming on the word, lying on the word. And then we sit here and allow, that's right, you don't need to be forgiven if you don't respect the word enough. Amen. And that's what he's talking about over at Mark 8. Amen. Bro, look what has transpired that we may have the word, amen. Look what other people have done that we may have had the word, amen. And then we allow it to be perverted because I want my will versus God's will. Amen. Because I'm trying to satisfy that old flesh versus God's will. Mainly because you are ignorant. Because you failed to study to show yourself approved unto God. Boy, those dangerous grounds to walk on. And I pray to God that none of us have that kind of attitude. That we will become unstable to the point that our attitude is not in compliance with the Word of God. That it literally will cause us to be blasphemous. Blasphemous. Let's go to Ephesians 1:7. I'm sorry to get on that tangent, but I had to, amen. Because, see, love the Word with all your whole heart, soul, amen. Appreciate the Word with your whole heart, soul. Be thankful that you belong to a church. Thank you, Terry, for that prayer, amen. When you thank the Lord for these faithful brethren here, amen. See, and let's just don't do it just tonight. Let's do it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Be thankful. Thank the Lord for your wife. Thank the Lord for this church. Thank the Lord just for the blessing that he give you, amen. Because it's a blessing to have family, church family, spiritual family, amen. And let's don't take it for granted. Because that devil is a roaring lion, amen. Seeking whom he may devour. I hear men all the time being so ugly toward their wives. Saying nasty things about their wives. But I'm so grateful. I am so grateful to have Miss Doris, amen. And you can say the same thing. That you are so grateful to have your wife. It's not because I've been so good. Because we have grown together through the power of God's word, amen. And that was the word of God. I'm sorry, brother, get off on that. I said I shouldn't be long tonight. But I just wanted to really talk to us about that. Because, see, you got to be able to forgive. Next Sunday when we talk about the dues of marriage, I'm going to spend some time on that. So we can learn through the word. See, that we may perfect in all of us to do God's will. Okay, let's go to Ephesians 1:7. I'm sorry. I just went on that tangent, but... Ain't that wonderful? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Amen. Amen. Oh, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. It says here, in dealing with that word forgiveness, is that in whom we have redemption. Galatians 4:4. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son under the law to redeem. For the wages of sin, Romans 6. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. In him we have redemption through Jesus' blood. Amen. See, question. How can you redeem? How can you be use redemption through Jesus' blood? When you don't respect who Jesus is by being the head of the church. Y'all hear what I just said? Or the way we handle the word to fit our glory versus God's glory that will cause us to be unstable, that will cause our attitude to be a fleshly spirit. Y'all hear what I just said? See, not only do you lose the privilege of the blood of Jesus Christ, the redemption of forgiveness of sin by the blood, but number one, your sins can't even be forgiven. Did y'all hear what I just said? Y'all see how that just fits together? Look what he says again. He said, verse 7, in whom we, that's all of us, right? Am I right? Because we passed Acts, right? We in 21 books, right? Am I right? We're perfected, am I right? See, in whom we have redemption through his blood, said his right there, See, I know that word his, and write Jesus. See, it ain't Mohammed blood. It ain't the Pope blood. It's Jesus' blood. Amen. We don't look unto the Pope. We don't look unto Mohammed. We look unto Jesus. Amen. The forgiveness of sin according to, by the way, riches, right? Romans 8, 16 and 17, that he is the heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. By our spirit, we are called children of God. Amen. Because what Christ did when he died on the cross and he redeemed us from our what? Sins. How in the world he going to redeem you for your sins and then put you in another church? Y'all see that? How he going to say, all right, I'm going to pay for everything you got. You're going to be heirs of God. You're going to be drawn out of Jesus Christ. But you don't have to worship me. You can worship somebody else. It makes no difference how you worship. Just do what you want to do. That don't make sense. Amen? We, it's us, Christians. You passed Acts, amen. Now you're in the church, amen. See, through the blood, we have redemption. Through the forgiveness of sin, through his riches, which is unlimited. Because we're heirs of God and we're joint heirs of Jesus Christ. That don't make you happy? Man, oh man. And you think I'm going to hold on? Some knucklehead? I ain't gonna forgive you. Don't say nothing to me. Is that worth it? For me to lose all this? Y'all understand what I'm saying? You see what Jesus said? Pray for your enemies. Pray for them that curse you. Spitefully use you. You see why Jesus said that? Because see, if you don't have the attitude, you don't have that frame of mind, you're gonna lose all of this. You talking about the Church of Christ, man, that's the best thing that ever could have happened to us. But to be a part of it, John, and you know 1 John 5:13, based on these things that were written, that apply to me and you. Amen? Ain't that wonderful? Ooh-wee. My. When I was studying this past week, I didn't know it was going to get this good. James 5, right quick. I got two more. This word coming, ain't it? Two or three got it in our name. Boy, we getting blessed, amen. James 5. 15. Here in James 5, 15. I love how, you know what I love? I love how the Holy Spirit used the word faith. And a lot of times it drives me crazy, especially this week when all the inner faith, ecumenical activity being occurred throughout the city. See, we have an inner faith service. See, all throughout the United States, see, it makes no difference what denomination you belong to, but we're going to come together and we're going to pray for our nation. It's sad that they don't understand. How you going to enter faith? That's blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know why? Because Ephesians 4:4 said there's only one faith. Amen. He said verse 3, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What? We promote one faith. The faith. Of faith. If you ask in faith. See, in faith is the gospel. Amen. It's not contrary to the gospel. Amen. See? Just pay attention to it when you're watching the news and when you're watching, glancing at the TV. Look at all the services going to be had between now and Thursday. You know, they're going to have interfaith ecumenical. I don't know what that word means, but you can't find that word in the Bible neither. See? Services that reflect that word Christmas. See how the devil just take one word, then he'll mess you up with one word, he'll give you another word, then he'll give you another word, then you have too many words in a sentence, it ain't all nothing but a big old lie. Amen? But because people don't study, amen, because they waver, because they don't have the stability, they just fall hook and sinker. But look what he says in 5:15. He said in 5:15, he said in 5:15, and the prayer of faith. That of, is that right there, is a preposition that shows ownership. Is that right, young people? Is that right? Is that what they teach you over at school? Hello? Check your head, is that right? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's right. You gotta say that. He said, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Amen. And the Lord shall raise them up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. So to have your sins forgiven, you got to be in the faith. Amen. Can't be in any faith, right? Got to be the prayer of faith. That it got to be backed up by authority. Am I right? See, in relationship to 4:15, we talked about according to the will of God. Then we always go to verse 16, but we leave 15 out, don't we? Then verse 16, he said, confess your fault one to another. See, what good of confessing your fault one to another if you're not in the faith? Because then what, why confess to somebody when ain't nothing going to happen? Right? That's useless. That's in vain. Amen? Did y'all hear what I just said? See, why in the world you go get on your knees and pray when, number one, that prayer is not a prayer of faith? Amen? Because that's a condition that has been set forth in order for you to be forgiven. See? Then it goes on to add on the next verse. He said, confess your fault one to another, pray one for another, that you may be healed. See? And then it goes on the effectual, fervent prayer. Then the Holy Spirit didn't stop there. He said, of a righteous man. See, you can't be right if you're not in the faith. If your sins have not been forgiven. Amen. Y'all see how the Bible just hinges one to another? See? See? Y'all got that? See? Man, you need to be underlining all faith. Underlining. Sins forgiven. Number one, your sins going to be forgiven when you're in the faith. Then, point two, you can't confess your fault. You can't pray ye one for another. Why? Because you are righteous. And that's what it says in short. But be careful, don't you blaspheme. In any form or fashion, when you negative debate, conflict, variance in your life, because you've been tossed around, see, in the sea like the wind blowing you because you're unstable, you can't go no further because you ain't going to be forgiven. Amen. Y'all with me? That's the reason why when you don't understand something, when you don't know something, stop. Get with somebody who you think may start, open the book and reason. Amen. Don't you talk bad about the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just start right there. Some things I don't know. Amen. Sometimes I have to call somebody. Now, what do that say? Amen. Because you begin to interject what you think or your opinion, you're going to mess up. Amen. It ain't no harm to asking. Am I right? If you use the right authority. That's the book. Y'all with me? See, that's the power of forgiveness. Tell him, go home, make your list. See, you got your bucket list. Make your forgiving list. See, forgiving list. Amen. I don't care if anybody wants somebody on it, get them off your list. See, if you don't, what we're talking about, it ain't worth a quote. And then finally, 1 John 1:9. This is one of my favorites right here. I use it every day, 4, 5, 10, 15 times a day sometimes. And the reason why, because we all have sinned and we all have fallen short of the glory of God. 1 John 1:9. I want to start reading in verse number 5.
Wouldn't hurt if I read the whole chapter, maybe 10 verses. But verse 5. He said, this then is the message. Romans 10, 17. They come by hearing, hearing by the word. 2 Timothy 2:15, study. Amen. Show yourself approved. Which we have heard of Jesus. And we declare it unto you that God is light. John 1:1. And in him is no darkness at all. You can't be double-minded, folks. Amen. You can't be a two-headed soul. You can't be one side spiritual, one side fleshly. Amen. Because in him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with Jesus and walk in darkness, we lie. And we don't even know the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, here we go again, y'all. See, how can you walk in the light as he is in the light when you don't have a forgiving spirit? See, because when you walk in the light as he is in the light, you don't only have fellowship with him, but you have fellowship one with what? Another. Right? See, it's like I said, how in the world can you leave here because you say we're doing something wrong, amen, and go somewhere else where you think is right, amen, and say you have fellowship? That's not true. Because one, we all have Acts 2:44, all things in common. Right? Make no difference what church you go to, as long as you're a part of in him or in the faith, we're all supposed to speak the same thing, be of the same mind. So you never leave a congregation for doctrinal issues, amen, unless they fail to repent. 2 John 9, right? Because if you do, and it's not handled right, and you don't forgive your brother, or you don't do everything that you can, Matthew 18:15, to restore that brother, number one, see, not only do you lose fellowship by not being in the light, but you lose fellowship one with another. Is that right or wrong? Because number one, you get angry and you leave because you say, I don't like what they're doing. Well, it's not, you're not fighting against me. You're fighting against the Holy Spirit. That's another problem. I'm sorry, brother. I said I wasn't going to be long. 5 minutes still. I'm sorry. Has it been wasteful? Okay. I had good intentions. But sometimes this stuff's so good, man. You know why it's so good? Because I see it growing, amen. I see it getting better. It's getting good and good. Ain't that right? See, I can look at some of y'all. Y'all liking it. See, some folks have been in, you'd be ready to quit maybe at 6:30. I see y'all enjoying it, amen. They're like at that table, you know, you eating, you know, and they say, it sure is good. And when you say, every time you say, it sure is good, you hear that big old spoon hitting that plate again with some more. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Because see, as long as you say it's good, they're going to what? They're going to keep giving it to you. See? Like Barry beginning to learn how to talk. He said, sure it's good. Every time he said good, I throw something in his mouth. He said, sure it's good. I throw something in his mouth. He started saying good, they don't get them all. See. But look what he said here. He said, verse 7, but if we walk in the light, see, as Jesus in the light, because we ask God and join out of Jesus Christ, right? See, we have fellowship one with another. And here we go, Ephesians 1:7 kicking in, am I right? And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, it cleanses us from all what? Sin. Isn't that something? And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But verse 9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us
of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, but it all begins with truth, brethren. Because we lose truth, none of this is applicable. Amen. See, if we double-minded, if we ask, if not in faith, if we ask, if not according to his will, we're double-minded, we're unstable, we are wavering, amen. See, what we're talking about is all for nothing. Amen. And all these benefits of Ephesians 1:3, all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, is all in vain. See, and that's the point. Okay? Is everyone here that needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Come on right now as you stand and you sing. Where there is power.